to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastors Errol and Emily Beckford and Diana Robinson from Living Word Church in Cocoa. Tune in daily, Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. on WMIE. Are you looking for a place to encounter God, cultivate purpose, experience family, and make a difference? At Living Word Church, we do life with God and one another. We are an intergenerational, multicultural church. Through the power of the Living Word, we unite to uplift and serve our community. Our heart's desire is to make a lasting impact for the next generation. Experience transformation of your heart and mind through infectious praise and worship, powerful practical teaching of the Word of God, and participate in small group ministry for all ages at Living Word Church. We are located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Win in your head, win in your hand. When you win in your head, you will win in your hand. But you gotta win first in your head. You're not gonna win in your hand until you win in your head. Because if you haven't won the battle in your head, you're going to let your hand slip. But if you've already won the battle in your head, baby, you're going to take another grip and you're going to win with that hand. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's a powerful scripture. So look, how did Eve lose it? Through deception. Deception where? In her head, which caused her hand to grab for the wrong thing. So the enemy in his craftiness caused her to lose the battle in her mind, and then her hand reached for the wrong thing. But Paul says, look, don't be corrupted in your mind like that. Christ is simple. Win the battle in your mind, and you will win the battle in your hand. She lost the battle in her mind, and then she lost the battle by her hand. Let's look at Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Win in your head, win in your hand. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome. So at this time, Paul has been detained by the authorities for preaching that good news gospel. And he's locked up. And he's being presented from authority to authority, because they're trying to bring charges against him. And every time he appears in front of authority, guess what he's sharing? His testimony. He's sharing the power of the gospel. So the people are hearing it, and they don't want to call it. So they're sending him to the next person. They don't want to call it against him. So they're sending him to the next person. So over the course of time, this is over 2 years that they have not formally been able to bring the charges against him, but they have him detained. So the Lord tells him at the beginning of the thing, he said, as you've testified for me in Jerusalem, you're also going to testify before me in Rome. Now, Rome is 1,300 miles away from where he is. So now he's on this journey for years from place to place, testifying in front of authority to authority. And he knows the Lord said the end place is going to be Rome. In his head, he had to see past every adversity over those years, and he had to see. God said, I'm going to testify of his goodness in Rome. As the opposition kept coming against him, the opposition is coming. The opposition is coming. The opposition is coming. The craftiness of the enemy is trying to get
like. It don't matter what it feel like. It don't matter the momentary discomfort. God said, I'm testifying in Rome. So he wins the battle in his head. Then he wins it in his hand. Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 11. Now when much time had been spent and sailing, they're on a boat, was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than the things spoken by Paul. Okay, so when they first get on this boat, Paul's like, the circumstances, this don't look like it's going to be a safe travel. People say, you ain't no boat captain. You a preacher. We getting on the boat, we going anyway. All right, so here we go. Let's move down into verse 21. Acts chapter 27, verse 21. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. So this is a physical opposition coming against the boat. In his head, he knew God told him 2 years plus before he was going to Rome. He's seeing all of the factors. He's telling the people, naturally, we shouldn't get on this boat. We shouldn't make this journey at this time. They say, we don't care what you say. So they begin to go. So now he has to keep taking courage in what God told him. The people aren't listening. They didn't take his advice. So he has to take courage in what God said. Verse 22, and now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So the word of God comes to him in the midst. They've been 14 days on this boat, and the boat is getting all turned up, and all these things are going on. And the Lord comes and brings enforcement. What does he bring as enforcement? A word. The word enforces the message that the Lord has spoken unto him. You will go to Rome. Verse 25, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God. Who does he believe? God, that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. So at this time, he said, yeah, a certain island, but he's not naming the island. He may not know yet. He saw a glimpse of something. We got to get it because faith that works. He saw a glimpse of something, but he didn't have all of the different aspects of it at this time. Verse 27, now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land, and they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. So the water is getting lower and lower. Then feeling lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape the ship, when they had let down the skiff, that's a small boat, into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut the ropes in the skiff and let it fall. Acts chapter 27, verse 42. And this all reads so nice. You read it in your Bible. There's more to it in the chapters there. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Okay, now, next part about the hand, verse 28. Now when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made all of us welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Verse 3, now we're in Acts chapter 28. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer who, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." The haters. Look at how they're talking about him. They said, "Oh, he brought everybody this far. They all came off of the boat okay, but they still trying to say he's a murderer. They still trying to say he a liar." But the proof already jumped off of the boat. The proof was already at safety that the word of God was true, and the people still want to point the finger. They want to say, "Oh, you dirty murderer. Now you're getting bit by a snake. Now the snake's going to take you out." But guess what? When he shook his hand, it released into the fire and suffer no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come upon him, they changed their minds and said he was good. Now, that's not even the end of it, because there's one more part about the hand. Verse 7, in that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island.
Thank you for being a part of the Make Your Day Count family. Join us at Living Word Church, where we do life together. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Make your day count. Are you looking for a place to encounter God, cultivate purpose, experience family, and make a difference? At Living Word Church, we do life with God and one another. We are an intergenerational, multicultural church. Through the power of the Living Word, we unite to uplift and serve our community. Our heart's desire is to make a lasting impact for the next generation. Experience transformation of your heart and mind through infectious praise and worship, powerful practical teaching of the Word of God, and participate in small group ministry for all ages at Living Word Church. We are located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in Cocoa, Florida, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.